y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Bed Talks with Kay and I. We are excited. We are officially into spring. Yay! We're getting closer to summertime, which is my favorite time of the year, and Kay's not so favorite time of the year because it's so warm outside. But anyway, that's a whole nother show, right?
Yes. I'm a fall winter guy, so thank God for the spring. But yeah, you can put me back in fall and winter and I'll be
so fun. Yeah, and I'm a summer girl. I just love the summer. Summer just to me is like fun time, creativity. So anyway.
It's great.
It is. It's just hot. It's hot. We live in the South, so it's just really hot in the summer. But anyway, we are excited to have a guest on today. Her name is Kamisha Janey. Welcome to the show, Kamisha. So let me tell you guys a little bit about Kamisha. I know we talk about all kinds of topics related to relationships and life. And you know, sometimes I bring people onto the show who don't directly talk about relationships, but I think everything is relational, especially the relationship that we have with money and then how that relationship transfers to the relationship we have with the person that we choose to be our significant other.
Ooh, that was good.
You like that?
That was real good.
That was right off the flow. So okay. Kamisha is here because she is a certified credit specialist. And one of my pain points, because I grew up in a family, and Kay can attest to this, I keep a spreadsheet for real about everything I spend. I grew up in a family where my dad was a financial planner. So early on in my life, fortunately, my dad would take me on appointments with him to visit people to talk about their financial picture. So it was always top of mind in my life. I didn't always make the right decisions about it right away, but I always knew kind of the right things to do. So I think that what Kamisha does is so important about like educating people around credit, their credit journey. She has a reason why this became her credit journey. We're going to get into that. But I think that she also focuses on business credit, because another part of like empowering yourselves and helping to enrich your relationships is also building businesses for yourselves, because that's a way to build legacy for family, right? So Kamisha, why don't you just like tell us a little bit about yourself and then how you got so interested in credit?
Okay, sure. Well, first let me get to thanking you guys so much for having me on Bed Talk today. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, Elizabeth and Kay. I was really excited. I looked at some of your prior interviews that you did on television and stuff. I'm like, okay, I'm excited to be here. but I got started really with credit. I was always into credit. And I think it was one of those things, because when I was younger, my mom was just so, stay away from credit cards. Don't do it. Don't do it. And, you know, when you're a teenager, whatever your parents say, well, the type of teenager I was, whatever my mother was like, don't do it. I'm like, I think I want to do that, right? So, you know, she was just so concerned that I would mess up my credit. And I was always like, I was always one of those teenagers. I worked since I was 14 years old. I would try to work a gazillion hours. And, you know, I like buying stuff. I wish I invested when I was younger and knew to invest more, how important that was at a younger age. But, you know, I would buy a lot of stuff. So she was probably worried, like, I overspend. But I never messed up my credit, you know, not even younger. I probably started building credit in college. I feel like that's when they prey on you. That's when all the offers come to the house, you know. And I did okay. Like, I built a decent credit score for myself in my early 20s. At that time, I probably had like a 720 or a 730, somewhere around that. And I got married fairly young. And it was needed. Like, I bought a house by the time I was 25. So credit came in handy. And I was always, you know, I was like the go-to person for credit. You know, not intentionally, but I kind of just knew a lot about it. And I don't know. So people would come to me. It wasn't something initially where I was just like, you know, I'm going to do credit. My business in terms of my career was in the retail industry, because I worked retail as a kid. So as I grew in the retail field and became a higher up, that's what I did. But people would come to me always asking me questions about credit and finances and things like that. So that's more how I stumbled into doing what I'm doing now.
Now, let me jump in right quick. How did they know to come to you to discuss credit matters? Did you wear a T-shirt that said, hey, I'm the credit pro master? You know, how what drew them to you to inquire about those types of things?
I think it could, sometimes it could be like the stuff that they see. So I was always, it's interesting because I was always the type of person, I was always like, I'm a save, save, save. Not when I was younger, didn't think of invest, 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 which is more, now I know even more important than saving, but I would save. I never lived above my means, and that's very important. That's where a lot of people mess up. But I also like nice things. Now, if I can't do it, I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses, but I think, I bought when I was 25, I bought my first home. It was a 5-bedroom home. It was in the city. So, seeing things like that, I was the first in my circle to own a home. And so it was like, oh, you have a house, and then, I might have a decent car or something like that. And they're like, and sometimes, they may be talking to me about whatever their struggles are. And as a friend, I'm like, oh, well, why don't you do this and do this? Oh, what happened? Nah, this is how you handle that. So that's more so how they came to be where, once you give a little bit of advice, then they ask you, now all of a sudden, you're thinking you're giving your friend a tip, which is fine. But then it's like, hey, question for you, Niche,
And I think when you give people advice, Elizabeth can attest to this, when you give them advice and they take heed to the advice that you've given and it works, then they come back for more. So
exactly. That's true.
So I'm a relationship coach, and I think that, people, they fall in love, they meet someone, they fall in love, I should say, they get to know them. And one of the most uncomfortable conversations they don't like to have is about finances. But yet it's one of the biggest reasons a lot of relationships end, because people have very different viewpoints on money, depending on how they were raised to view money, their relationship with money, their experience with money. So what advice would you give to people who are dating and who are interested in someone, and maybe they're thinking they're going to take it to the next step? How do they have that financial conversation with that person?
It's I find you kind of have to have it very early on. I learned that because I'm divorced. So as someone that's divorced, hopefully you learn from your mistakes. So when you approach it early on, it's not as comfortable. I find anyways, it's not as uncomfortable. Right from the go, right from the get-go when you're dating me. After my divorce, it was like, this is what I'm looking for. This is my expectations, and that's that. Are you rolling with me or not? And I think.
Was this on the first date? I'm sorry. You didn't scare him off with just, okay, what's your credit score?
So I think it depends. I don't think you need to lay you don't want to scare dude. It has to flow naturally, right, but it's definitely, early on. Mm-hmm. And it might happen sooner if you notice things. Mm-hmm. Where do you work or what do you do? And when you have those conversations, depending on what the person tells you, it can give you an insight on, well, how soon do I need to have this conversation? I don't think it's sometimes, I don't know, ladies might hate me for this, but I think sometimes women want their men to be here and they're here, and I think that the person, whoever you're dating, they don't always have to match you. And that's another mistake that sometimes women make is, I'm making this, they have to make that. But I do think it's important for whoever you're with, whether it's a male or female, either end, is if the person isn't necessarily matching you, they're complimenting you, and they have the ambition to make things happen. So I was never the type of woman to say, and I know some people are like this, and everybody's different, but I wasn't like, oh, if he's not making this, no, I'm not doing it. If he's not driving this, I'm not gonna waste my time. Now, maybe when you get a little bit older, you know, I can kind of understand that a little bit more, because it's like, okay, but what were we doing? We think like, I don't got time to wait.
Yeah, right.
You know? But, you know, when you're younger, it's like, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time, you know, and I think women mature, you know, faster than men. So, you know, if you're a little bit younger, if you're in your 20s, he ain't doing X, Y, Z yet, it's great that you're there, but give them time. Early 30s, give them time. Late 30s, 40s, 50s, there's kind of, you are who you are. You're not going to change much. That's a little bit different.
The way I think about it is that there's quarters of your life. So your first 25 years is like the first quarter of your life. Then like when you get to your late 20s, 30s, that's like the second quarter. Your 40s is like your third quarter. And then the fourth quarter is like 50s and beyond. And I feel like you don't want to, like, I agree with you. When you're younger, you can build together. You can learn together. And people are more moldable. Right. But as you get older, now if you get to your 40s and people have not figured it out, you're in the third quarter of your life. You got to really assume in your mind that they may not. And you have to be comfortable if you take that on. Because you're in the third quarter of your life and you really don't have as much time to make up for it. Like if things go horrifically wrong because you're with someone who makes bad financial decisions, it's harder to recover from it. But when you're younger, I agree. There's definitely more space and room to like improve and get better. Can you tell people, like a lot of people are very intimidated by business credit. So I feel like people are aware of consumer credit. I think there's still gaps, right? But I think one of the things I will give Obama credit for that people really didn't pay attention to that he did do was when we went through the whole financial fallout in 2008, he made it where banks had to tell people, like, if you're paying your minimum on your credit card, this is the interest you're going to pay. This is how long it's going to take you to pay it. That was something that people really didn't pay attention to. Because if you're not really financially savvy or you're not financially educated, I call it, like, as far as you're just not aware of how money works and how money accumulates and amortizes, and you're shaking your head because I know you've probably heard and told this story many times. There were so many people out there paying the minimum, not realizing the minimum on a credit card balance, thinking, well, I'll eventually get to it, not realizing that there's interest accumulating, you know, constantly, which is keeping you behind the eight ball. So I give Obama like shout out for that because he was really instrumental in changing that financial transparency. So even when you're getting a bank loan, you know, we know bank loans, man, mortgages are, it is great to be a homeowner, but if your interest rate isn't right, you still could be in a situation where you're overpaying for something, right? You're overpaying for to building an asset.
A home that may have been $300,000 now at the end of
your $600,000 being amortized. So I guess my point on that is like I think people are getting smarter about that because there's more information out there and people talk about good credit and people want to be homeowners and they're aspiring for that. I think the next level, especially for people of color, right, should be the business piece, because as you build a business that helps to build your family, your legacy, and we'll get into that because we got a really good announcement to make about something that happened within your family. That's a teaser, guys. How do you, like, I guess, and I know I went talked about a lot, but how do you advise people about building business credit? Like, what's the difference between business credit and consumer credit? And how hard is it really if someone wants to eventually like start a business or get capital? How do you advise clients that way?
I think about it like this. Whenever, for me anyways, I try to, even if I don't really know the person, I have like, okay, this is my mentor, right? And I look at, you know, what do I want to accomplish? Like, and how do these people accomplish this, right? Anybody that has like a successful, huge business is done through getting a loan, point blank period, whether the company is public and they that's how they got their money through investors, whether they built it on business credit. You know, do you think Jeff Bezos isn't using business credit to build, you know what I mean? And that's how Walmart got started. So it really only began. And honestly, I just don't, if someone's not doing it, it's because they don't know. Because business credit is so much easier to obtain than consumer credit, right? There's so much that goes into that FICO formula. You know, they're going to look at your utilization, the type of credit, how long you have credit, do you pay on time, right? There's a lot of factors that go into that. It takes 6 months just to generate a FICO score if you don't have credit. And then it's going to take you years before you can establish excellent credit, because there's a lot that goes into that. Well, business credit, their main focus, how many people have lent to you? Do you pay on time? That's what they're focused on. So, you know, I was able, once I started building business credit, I was able to literally get it and access, you know, I think 5 figures in like 45 days. And then I got to the point where it's 6 figures, you know? And what you can get on business credit is 10 times to 100 times higher than on a consumer side. And that's according to the SBA. You know, my consumer credit score is an 803. At an 803 consumer credit score, my highest credit card is about 23,000 and some change. Now, I have a decent interest rate. It's 9%. For that particular card. Usually I won't even, I like to do balance transfers, so I don't like to pay any interest. Right. And I just, you know, yeah, do it like that. But that's what like really, you know, considered great credit. And that's my max. On the business credit side, that's like a, you know, that's one of my lower you know, amounts. So if you really grow a business, you know, it takes a lot. You can't, it's not a one-man shop. If you want to scale and be to a certain level of success, right? You need a team. You need to invest and you need to market yourself. And, you know, you might want to get to the point where you have a publicist or, you know what I mean? So you need, and you can't get there if your business isn't making that money, right? So there's a point where you have to decide, like, okay, how do I go to the next level? And for me, I just knew, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, they make this assumption. I studied business a little bit, and I'm like, okay, like, when I left the corporate world and went into, you know, being an entrepreneur full time, I was just like, okay, my business is going to take off, right? Woo. Wow, no. Okay, no, it didn't work like that. I don't know, God bless those who works like that for. It didn't work like that for me, and I felt good because I had the savings, you know, but it was also a big adjustment because I had a decent career. You know, at the time I had, you know, I was making 6 figures at my job, and then you go from that to nothing, right? And, you know, I'm pulling, I'm living off of my savings and trying to, okay, make money to my business. And I was just like, it's not working out. And how I really like thought about and learned about business credit and how important it was, like I said, I was like studying everything business, and I really like Russell Brunson, you know, and mm-hmm. ClickFunnels, whatever. He's like, to me, like, he's like a marketing genius. And I attended one of his seminars, and he had said something like, you know, the reason why most businesses fail is because you have to test everything. You have to see what works and see what doesn't. And a business fails because they haven't done enough testing. They run out of money before they can test and determine what works to be successful. So I know, okay, I need more capital, and I found myself running out of money. And I did have, at this time, I did have like good credit, but I was the type of person, like I said, I never like wanted to, my utilization, I keep it at about 4% even now for my consumer credit. Like, you know, so I was hesitant, and I was so focused on, oh, I don't want to hurt my score. Now I kind of know better, like don't focus too much on the score, you know, but that's how I was thinking. And I was on the phone with my boy Denroy. He does credit too. Shout out to Denroy. But he was like, Mijo, why don't you do business credit? And it was crazy because, right, I told you my friends would always come to me with consumer credit. And I felt like I was very knowledgeable about that. And I'm like, business credit, you know, and he told me about it. He's like, yeah. And for me, what worked is I'm very timid in terms of like investor. Like, I'm like super scary. Okay, like I'm like,
you're risk averse. You're risk averse, yeah.
Yeah, like I'm shook. But he's like, you know, what's the, when you think of the worst case scenario, and when you do an investment, right, you always gotta think best case scenario, worst case scenario. So, you know, I'm like, okay, worst case scenario, I get this money, it doesn't work out, I fold the business. Okay, I can open up another business, right? Is my house safe? I don't have to, you know, I'm not hurting my consumer credit. My personal assets are safe. You know, so when he told me that, I'm like, yeah, it doesn't work like that. And I started looking into it. And I literally, like, I became obsessed. And I worked on building relationships, studying it, learning everything I could learn about it. And once I got business credit, I was literally able to triple the sales in my business. Because now I had, you know, I was doing things different. I was moving different, you know, and, you know, that's the key to wealth. That, you know, you borrow other people's money to make you more money.
Right.
And it really helped me to grow. So it became like my passion. And I use business credit to pay for the licensing of software now that I offer my consumers, you know. So it is super beneficial. I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
So let me, now for the layman out here, all right, you really went into extreme detail about both practices, you know, consumer credit as well as business credit. If you could sum it up just in, I don't know, in one sentence, okay, that would still kind of get where the audience could get the gist of the differences, the contrast, what would you say? How would you relay that? The differences.
I would say one sentence?
Maybe two. Two or three.
I would say.
She's like, that's a lot of information to compress.
That's what I want, though, just to get to
it. Yeah.
You know, the two are completely separate. So you can have good business, you can have a bad consumer credit, and you can have good business credit. And one of the things that people should really think about, your consumer credit is attached to your social. And unless you're doing something crazy, right, you only have one social security number. Mm. So you mess that up, you know, it might take time to recoup that. Building business credit a certain way, you attach that to your EIN. Mm. And each business has their own EIN. So, you know, you can have six businesses. You mess one business credit up. You know, you should never do this intentionally, but you mess it up for that business. You can still have other things going on to keep you afloat. So it doesn't leave you stuck. Like when you make a mistake with your consumer credit, it's really hard to level up. And everything it's going to require, oh, you want that car? You know, and if you don't have good credit, it's going to make it harder for you. Like they might still give you a time, but then you're going to have chances to mess up your credit even more. So you can get yourself dug in a deep hole. Business credit, you don't have to be in a hole, and it's easier. It's so much easier.
I think the way you could simplify it is like consumer credit is a single pathway, you know, and everything you do affects that pathway. That's Boom. What you're saying. Business credit, you could use that, yes.
That could be like consumer credit, one pathway.
Business credit, multiple analogy. Pathways. Because we read so many stories of people who failed over and over. And people are like, how are they still in business? Because they could keep recreating and they could be very diversified. So that's an advantage. So that's a really...
And they'll do the same thing, but they might just change the business
a little bit. And to your point, testing different ideas, because they may have like ran out of capital on one idea. And then it's like, okay, but now I think I got it. Let me take it here and just modify my business a little bit. So business actually gives you a lot of diversity of chance, too, if you look at it that way. It's risky, but it can be calculated risk. So.
And thank you for breaking it down. See, I'm the guy who I always express to anyone who's teaching an audience or teaching me, you know, I'll tell them, you can speak to me as if I'm in second grade. I won't be insulted. Now, if you're talking to me like, now, A, B, C, now don't insult me in that manner. But what I'm saying, you know, speak to me in basic layman terms, because some people understand things differently. You know, Elizabeth speaks a different language than I do, you know, and vice versa. So thank you, Mish, for breaking that down in the bare basic
essence.
Oh, trust me. Trust me. I learn from her on a regular.
Well, it's funny. Like I said, I grew up around it. And so
it's
in my blood. I took it for granted. But then as you grow up and then you're around other people and they're telling you these things, you're like, you didn't know that credit, this is how credit works, or that this is what an APR is, or this is what an ARM is, or this is this type of loan. Like it was just a natural, it's almost like kids, you know, people are always impressed that people are doctors and they have kids that are doctors. But for me, I feel like they grew up around it. So that was like their norm. So it's much easier actually for them to become a doctor because it was just part of the language that was in the house around the table. And so it's the same thing. Like it was just conversation all the time. And I was annoyed with it as a kid. Like I was not interested at all. But now I'm grateful for it because I'm like, it just taught me a lot of lessons around money.
And I don't want to get off the subject per se, but since we're talking about credit, credit cards, things to establish good credit, I've joked with Elizabeth multiple times, the way that she strategically utilizes credit cards, it's like playing a game of spades. and honestly, she's built for this. And she knows, sometimes she'll come and say, you know, Kay, you know, why don't you try to apply? I say, you know what? I'm good with the few I have. I don't have that ability or mindset to, I mean, whether she has 5 or 10, she knows which one to use for what, which one she's going to get the most points off of. And it's like playing a game of spades. So listening to you two, I'm almost certain if I were to leave right now, you guys would go into a whole nother language. See how I'm fading out, Mish? See how I'm fading out,
Mish? You're not going nowhere. You're not going nowhere. He's staying right here. No, to your point about, like, I just think there's a way to leverage other people's money. Like, a lot of people are like, I want to use my money. Why if you don't have to? It's about just using credit in a smart way. And like you say, you're not going out there and dropping money to buy cars or unless it's a business write-off, that's another show. But you're not just dropping money on stuff that's not giving you a return on the investment. You're just being smart about using that money, keeping your money, and building off other people's money, which is how, if you look at the Rockefellers or the Priskers or any, you know, family that's very wealthy, the Chase, you know, JP Morgan Chase, the banking industry, they built it off other people's money. Banks do it all the time. They're using our money to enrich themselves too. So it's just learning to utilize utilize resources they give us in the same way. Of course, we can't get it like they get it, but you know, we could use it. We could be smart about how we use it. So I want to go back to the teaser. So you had some good news that happened this week that I think is pretty amazing. I heard through you that your mom is, she won becoming mayor of Baltimore, Maryland, and she's the first.
No, not Baltimore. Oh, Boston.
Boston, Massachusetts? Well, oh, that's even, wow.
So hold on, backtrack? Say
Boston,
that again?
Boston, Massachusetts? Okay, so let's get it right. So her, tell me, why don't you say it, Misha? Go ahead.
Okay, so my mom, on Wednesday, she was sworn in as Boston's first Black mayor, as well as Boston's first woman mayor. So, you know, kudos to my mom. That's super dope. But this is like national news. Like, my mom's on a Today show. Wow. And, you know, I think she has Born in America.
Right.
Joy Reid,
MSNBC.
Somebody, I don't even know this. I'm trying to like research it, but people ask, oh, she was the person of the week. I don't even know what that is. I'm going to be honest with you. But I think it's a big deal because she was named that by them. And so it became national news. And the reason why it's so big is because, one, Boston's one of the oldest cities. So we've been around forever and we never had a woman there.
Right.
We never had every single mayor that we've ever had has been a white man of Irish descent or I don't know the other. And how my mom became mayor is she was president of the city council. So that's like she was elected president of the city council among her peers. She was part of the city council. She was a city councilor. And what happened was Biden took our mayor, made him secretary of labor. So boom, just like that. And what is really incredible, my mother was a teenage mom. So she's not that, my mother's 55 years old. She's, you know, not super old, but
tell people how old she was when she had you so they can know how young of a teenager she was.
Oh, so y'all can figure out my age?
No, we're not trying to figure out your age. No. I'm good with math, but no, that's not why.
She had me when she was 16 years old. She was a part of a busing era. And so what people don't know, you know, well, some people may know this, but Boston was known as a very racist city. So this is the 70s, y'all. This ain't back in the day. In the 70s, they did desegregation of our schools here. And so my mother now had to go to school. She got to go to school with white people. And they're like throwing rocks at the bus, smashing the windows, get out of here, N-word on the, you know, the buildings. You know, people were scared to go to school. Black people were scared, you know? So that's how she grew up. We ended up having a program. It's called a MECO program, where you now got to go to school outside of Boston. So later on, for high school, my mother got to go to school in the suburb. And the part of the program is like, you know, you can be afforded a better public school education. You know, you don't have to go to school in Boston. So she went to school in the suburbs. She was a part of this MECO program. And at the time, you know, if anybody black was acting up, like you're getting kicked out. You're getting kicked out. By the time my mother graduated, she was one of two black people in her entire class, not classroom, in the entire class. To graduate from her school, and she did that with, you know, a 2-year-old, you know, baby at the graduation. So the fact that she is now the first black mayor and the first woman mayor in Boston's history.
It's huge.
You know,
it's huge. Because
every major city has had one or the other, if not both. And Boston is considered a major city.
Yeah.
Like, what was
And I remember, like, there was something on Trevor Noah's show where they were kind of doing interviews in Boston about the racism and, like, what are they doing to make it better? So it's so ironic that your mom is now the mayor of that city. But I was telling Kay, you know, before we interviewed you, because you had mentioned this to me, so it even has more significance because I thought you at first said Baltimore. And I was like, Baltimore didn't have a female before. I was surprised. But when you say Boston, I get it, because I was saying to him, I said, Kamisha had no choice but to succeed. Because what is she going to tell her mom, who had her at 16 years old and can't, you know, and got through all these different challenges?
And the same thing, I think about it, you know, like, was interesting with my family, because the same thing, my mother's parents were teen parents. Mm. You know, my grandfather, he was like, you know, vice president of Scholastic. She grew up in the projects, 6 brothers and sisters, and making, you know, up there. He was a super, before he was vice president of Scholastic, he was like the superintendent of New York and DC of the schools. So he made very well from himself. But the thing about my family, they don't play, like, you gonna get to it on your own. Like, but you know what? I think that it's worked very well for my family, because a lot of them have become successful. I mean, I'm not gonna drop the ball. You know, everybody's waiting. You know, politics isn't one of my, it's not my thing, but, you know, I have to make sure that I'm leaving a good legacy. I'm establishing things on my own. And what's dope about my mom, about becoming our first black mayor and first woman mayor, my mom is not just any type of, y'all watch Black AF?
I saw it once about the guy who wrote. He wrote Blackish Kenya Burris. Yeah. He's like the head writer of it.
Yeah. So my mom is like super black. Like, you ask my mom, it's like my mom is, and probably because of her experiences,
what she had to, right.
You know, but everybody, she's like, hey, you know, we need equity, excellent cousins, racism, everything is, you know.
In your face for the most part.
It is in your face. So they don't just have, you know, it's not just any old black woman Boston guy. You know, my mother very much believes in the underdog. She very much believes in equity for those who were pushed out and left out. And I don't know if it's Boston or Massachusetts. And I know this quote from my mom, really. And I didn't believe it when she told me this. But the average net worth of a black person in here is $8. And the average net worth of a white person is $250,000.
I think that's what they were sharing. I remember them talking about that.
Wow.
That's really significant. That's huge. Yeah, so your mom is probably going to be bringing that up at every press conference.
So do we need to move to Boston? Do we need to move to Boston? Because I'm sure your mom's is going to make sure that, look, like you said, it is equitable across the board.
Yeah, I know that's definitely on the agenda.
Yeah, you guys also had in Boston, I remember Deval Patrick was your governor some years ago.
Yeah.
And he was really
that
good.
Was
yeah, that was huge. Yeah.
Huge.
I always thought he would go on and do something, you know, bigger, but I guess maybe he changed his...
He got in a presidential race for like a month.
Okay. I thought, yeah, he did do something. Okay, I forgot about that.
He was in and out. It was like...
He's like, know, okay, I'm good. Yeah, he was, he's like, I conquered Boston. That was enough. So anyway, we're going to wrap up soon because, you know, we really have enjoyed this conversation. It's hard. There's so much like we want to ask you. So we'd like you to come back on the show at some point in the future and do like a part two, getting more into like the business credit conversation.
It may even be a workshop.
Maybe it's a workshop. Yeah. We need to figure that out. Seriously. Because I so believe in financial awareness, because I think half the gap is just people understanding what to do and knowing what the options are. I think that's half the battle. And then once you teach them, they just, shoop, they thrive. And I'm sure you've seen that with your friends and peers and people you've counseled around credit.
Definitely. Maybe we can do something, you know, relationship-wise. Like I said, I was the first, and that was, you know, a big to-do with our finances, to be honest with you. Honestly, my friends don't even know this yet. I'm actually getting married again.
Oh.
Never thought I would do it again. Yeah, but I'm...
Congratulations.
And, you know, now the difference... Thank you, yeah. You know, the difference is, like, we're getting a prenup. Everybody's different. For me, I look at it as, well, you know, if, God forbid, you never need it. I don't want to have car insurance, but I have it just in case I need it. You know, I don't want to ever need it. So, you know, it outlines the things, and let's make these decisions on what's going to happen while we're so happily in love, as opposed to, you know, so maybe we talk about, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. And I think there's, you know, and there's other like avenues for couples to protect each other, you know, with insurance policies to make sure that there's a comfort level to, because as you get older, you do have more, you may have kids that you want to do certain things for. And so you got to really have real conversations about that. Like, how do you balance that out with your partner versus your children? And so there's a lot of different dynamics, but we so appreciate you coming on. We thoroughly enjoyed you. Tell your mother, congratulations. We're so excited for her.
Meesh, can you see me?
He's doing Wakanda forever, because this is like an audio recording, guys. So they're like, what? What's happening? No, but we're super excited and proud of her. We think she'll probably do amazing, because it sounds like she's done amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at you. You're part of her legacy. So I can't imagine she can't be.
Yeah, we're not saying she's, you know, now started to do amazing things since she's now mayor. I'm talking about from whence she was pregnant with you all the way up. So kudos and congratulations to your mother for just being the woman that she is.
And the family member who did Scholastic. I'm a nerd, so I remember the little Scholastic things we used to get in school. I used to read them and do all the like little exercises. So I appreciate him. So tell him thank you too. I appreciate him helping educate me on my, you know, in my younger years, or having an impact in some kind of way, form or fashion. But we so enjoyed you. Tell people how they can find you, and if there's any projects that you're working on that you want them to be aware of.
So on Instagram, I am capital_credit_Meesh. My website is financialgrowthstrategies.com. Again, financialgrowthstrategies.com. So, you know, you can reach out to me through the contact on my website. You can DM me. Sometimes it gets lost in the sauce, but, you know, you have that option too on.
And can you spell out your Instagram just so they know how to spell Meesh for people who are listening?
Yeah. So it's capital. Thank you. They would have put the one E, and I have to. So it's capital CAPITAL _ credit CREDIT _ Meesh. MEESH.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Probably put in Meesh the Credit Pro as well.
And right, and it'll pull it up through the search engine. Yep, for sure. So thank you again for being on the show. We are going to be back with more shows like this. We're so excited because summer is coming.
Yes, it is.
And so
it's spring again. Everybody knows it's spring again.
I just think spring, summer. So anyway, we're going to leave you guys on that note. We appreciate you joining us for the show. Remember that you can listen to other episodes of Bad Talks on the Anchor app, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify and other platforms. Thank you for tuning in, guys. We appreciate your support. And until next time, XOXO.